I want to say a very happy Mother's Day to all the moms. And yes, if you look back there, we do have some carnations. So you just feel free to take yourself a carnation before you leave here. Either for you or for your mom or in memory of your mom. And I was thinking to myself too, you know, after the women have helped themselves to the flowers. I mean, anybody, you know, because it's been such a dismal spring. You want to just bring a nice little flower home with you. You just help yourself. And here on this Mother's Day Sunday, we are continuing with our sermon series. Ta-da! Psalms, Chords in the Key of Life. And, I guess once again, Mike, I'm going to make you work quite a bit here with some of these psalms because, I thought I'd do something a little bit different. We're going to once again take a little tour through some of the verses in these psalms in a moment. But first of all, and by the way, thank you very much, Kevin, for leading us in our worship this morning. And I know Diane's kind of under the weather, and so thank you for persevering. Is she actually downstairs with the kids today? Or?
I'm hiding in the back.
Oh, you're hiding in the back. All right, yes, okay. Take a flower. Yeah, okay, so thank you for that. Now, you know, on days like Mother's Day, days like Father's Day, all right? Do you know there are some people who don't even like attending church on those days? Years ago when I was attempting to pastor a church, they had a tradition, and I was brand new there. They had a tradition that they would call up all the moms to the front. And I forget, did we pray for them? Or, you know, it was a good thing, right? They called up all the moms. The only problem was, on that particular Sunday, there were guests there who were related to some of the very active members of that congregation. So they knew they were coming. And they were a couple that had been married for a while, but they were unable to conceive children. So when I got up to the front and called up all the moms, and as all the pews emptied out, guess who was left standing all by themselves? Yeah, that one woman who already was feeling bad enough. And I decided that Sunday morning that the tradition stops today. I didn't stay pastoring that church very long, but that's another story. Because you can never take for granted that everybody will have had a really good start in their life. You can't take that for granted. Not everybody has good memories of mothers, fathers. Not everybody will even know who their biological mother or father even was. But there were other people, other adults who stepped in. I've mentioned it before. My father was an alcoholic as I was growing up. And we had two fellas. There were two brothers named Frank and James. And we called them Uncle Frank and Uncle James. We weren't related. They came, just after the Second World War. They came from the Maritimes to Ontario to find some work. But Uncle Frank and Uncle James, I remember, you know, playing games with Uncle James. I remember it was Uncle Frank that took us fishing, took us out trick-or-treating, all the kinds of things that usually dads did. But Uncle Frank and Uncle James, they stepped in. And a stepdad, a foster mom, a kind and tender-hearted teacher, maybe it was a grandparent, maybe a coach, you know, who saw an opportunity to share some kind of kindness, something they saw that was lacking in a kid's life. They knew it. They knew the situation. And they stepped in and they helped change the direction of the life of that boy or girl. They took on a role that, for whatever reason, a biological parent could not. So we give them special honor. And not just on days like this, but every day. Some of you have been a mother or a father to someone you're not related to by blood at all. And God used you. In fact, God is using you to make a difference in somebody's life, you've helped set them on a better path. And the care and nurture of children, ooh, that is a sacred responsibility that God entrusts us with. Certainly in a church community like this one, it is a sacred trust, and one that needs to be protected, one that needs to be guarded. In a day and age like ours, you sadly have to say what I'm about to say now. Places like churches, clubs like the Boy Scouts or the Girl Guides or the Brownies, summer camps and organized sports groups for kids and youth, dance classes. These are run by countless dedicated men and women, often volunteering their time because they have a love for children and they want to help them have a better start in life. But you also know, and thankfully it's in the minority, although the occasions that it happens just happen to be the ones that get on the news. But it happens wherever children gather. Sometimes there are those adults who are not there because they love and care about children. There are predators. There are abusers. Jesus had some very strong words to say, by the way, regarding anybody who would harm a child. Anyone that causes these little ones to sin, he said, better for that person to have a large millstone, right? You know those big stones that usually an oxen or something, and they ground grain with them? Big, heavy stones. Better to have a rock tied around their necks and that they be cast into the sea. He wasn't mincing words. You can look it up. It's in Matthew 18, Mark 9, Luke 17. 3 out of the 4 Gospels have that quote from our Lord. And woe to any organization, like a church especially, or any kind of denomination, any ministry that would try to cover up or protect an abuser. That happens too, but thankfully, not anywhere close to the majority. Now, you know, this was great to see, wasn't it? We don't have a whole lot of kids here at Generations usually, do we? Right? But we have a few. We're committed to looking after them, aren't we? We pray for them. We bless them in the name of the Lord. People dedicate their time. Someone's dedicating their time right now. Is it Linda then? Linda. Ah, bless Linda's heart, right? She's down there. Why? Because she loves kids. They're safe. And we want to keep them that way, don't we? So today, and I'm going to shift gears a little bit now because, bring a little more positive tone to the message here this morning. I thought that maybe, since we're in the Psalms, perhaps you would like to see some of the more motherly aspects of God in the Scriptures. Huh? Motherly aspects? What kind of liberal church have you gotten yourselves into? Some people get nervous about this, so I need to say a couple things really quickly. I, for one, do refer to God in masculine terms. I use masculine pronouns like he and words like him. I make no apology for that. When God revealed himself to us, he came as Jesus the Son of God. And Jesus taught us to pray. Now, of course, we think of the Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven. But he also used a far more intimate word. Some of you know where I'm going with this. It's an Aramaic word. And the word is Abba. And it is spelled the same as that rock group, A-B-B-A. But it's an Aramaic word, and in that culture, it was used by children. It was used by children. Here in English, we come closest to the meaning of it when we use the word Papa. Papa, Daddy, Abba. And yet, with all of the masculine images that we get of God in the Bible, there is still a real sense in which God is not actually a man. He's not exclusively male. In fact, the Bible goes out of its way right there at the very beginning. Now, these are words written down most likely by Moses. They figure the first five books of the Bible, the Torah, they were probably written down by Moses, you know, during those wanderings in the wilderness. But the very first chapter of the Bible, we're told this way back, Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness." So we have that idea of Father, Son, Holy, the Trinity here, right? "So they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky." Now, that doesn't mean we take all the fish under the sea, or the birds fall down out of the sky because of all the pollution, the DDT. No, no. We're supposed to look after the livestock and all the wild animals and over all the creatures that move along the ground. It's God's world. We're supposed to look after it. But then, and here it is, verse 27, and look how far Moses is going out of his way to say it. "So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them." Both male and female are bearers of the image of God. A God who is spirit and who is to be worshipped in spirit and in truth. Okay, these days, maybe you've seen a rise. I was almost debating if I should do this for a Father's Day sermon, but no, I don't want to be hard on the dads at Father's Day either. But maybe you've seen a rise in popularity, something they call the alpha male. And it's happening especially among younger men. Mary and I were watching 60 Minutes on TV last Sunday, and they were interviewing a man who was part of this white supremacist Christian group. It's not Christian. And they go down and they help out in disasters, but you know what? They do it mostly for photo opportunities. "Hey, look, we're not so bad. Well, sure, we like to wear white robes and burn crosses, but we're okay. We're nice people." They're not nice people. Google put it this way when I looked it up. "The rise of the alpha male is a growing cultural trend, and it's driven by the online manosphere." I'll have to ask Jeremy what a manosphere is, right? Because he's into all that stuff, like technological. And what's a manosphere? I don't know. But it promotes rigid, dominant, and often misogynistic masculinity. And it's been surging in popularity over the last 12 to 18 months. Interesting, eh? Certain online influencers, they often target young men who, for various reasons, they feel alienated. They don't fit in. And these influencers say, "Hey, we got a place you can fit in." And they equate manhood with things like wealth, power, and the subjection of women. Keep them down. Macho, right? Remember that Christian book, Wild at Heart? Wild at Heart. Oh, it's got some good points. It's not entirely wrong. And yes, men are born kind of wild. Just ask their mothers. Ask their wives or their girlfriends. I remember a woman I worked with the first time she had a baby, and she said, "Well, I'm not going to try and, you know, gender stereotype my son. I'm going to let him play with all kinds of different toys." But she was dismayed because all he wanted to do was take the trucks and go right along the ground. But for Christian men, all right, are we supposed to stay wild at heart? Think about it. As our mainspring. Because God gives us and wants to develop within us a new heart. One like his. What's his like? Well, we mentioned this, and I haven't got it up on a slide there, but you can look them up. We mentioned these words In Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit. And there are things like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I don't see any of those words beginning with a W. Love, kindness, gentleness? Oh, those things are just for women. Right? No, are they just for women? The fruit of the Spirit? No. And this fruit will grow within anybody who is truly trying to follow God through faith. I was thinking of that word Jesus used in one of his Beatitudes. You've heard this. Blessed are the meek. Meekness. That is not to be thought of as weakness. From what I understand, it's actually a term from the equestrian world. Think of horses. We were watching the Kentucky Derby on TV, I think about a week ago. All those little fascinators, you know. The women were wearing them, not the horses. But think about wild horses, okay? A wild horse. But you know, horses that are wild are, in fact, dangerous, and they are useless to human beings. You have horses, you know. A wild horse, what can you do with that? But a tamed horse, now that's a different story. A tamed horse is still very strong, but that great strength is now under control, submissive even, and useful to human beings. It's only been the last 100 years or so that horses and humans have lived together for centuries upon centuries upon centuries. Do you remember when you were growing up, that annoying brother or sister? Or maybe it was some annoying kid at school. Remember? And especially here in Canada in the winter, they would rub their sock feet on the carpet and go, right? I'm going to touch you. Right? I hope you weren't that annoying kid. But you know, it's like, it's static electricity, right? Ow, come on. Try and give you a shock. Jim, that wasn't you. Did you do that to Kathy? I'll have to ask her. No, she did it to you. No, I may. Now, static electricity is useless, okay? A lightning strike, for instance, that can cause incredible damage. It can burn down a whole forest. But when that awesome power of electricity is brought under control, when it's run through a copper or aluminum wire, when it's turned into the proper amperage and all the other things that only my electrician son-in-law can explain, it means that now I can flick a switch and turn on a reading lamp at home. I can have a gentle nightlight glowing in the bathroom. Because I might need a nightlight glowing in the bathroom, I'm just saying. Now, of course, don't stick your finger in any light socket. Whoa, there's power there. But it's under control. That's what it means to be meek. And if you're a man, meekness is not a dirty word. We're called to be meek, capable of gentleness and patience. All right. And I say all of that to tell you, see, I'm building this up here in case you're thinking like, come on, motherly thing, images of God. There are so many maternal aspects of God. And they're written down several times here in the Psalms and also elsewhere in the Bible. And we'll look at a couple of those too. But in Psalm 131 and verse 2, now even a warrior like King David could write, I've calmed and quieted myself. I'm like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child, I am content. God's love and protection, it's like that of a mother. Jesus said of himself in the New Testament, and just like that, the Psalms also. I mean, Jesus, remember he said, I long to gather you as a mother hen. Gather your chicks, but you wouldn't. God says it to us too. God compares himself to a mother bird sheltering her chicks. Psalm 91, verse 4. He'll cover you with his feathers. Does God have literal feathers? I don't think so. But it's the image there. He's going to cover you with his feathers. And under his wings, you'll find refuge. Keep me, said David. This is Psalm 17, in verse 8. He says, keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings. And Psalm 57 and verse 1 says the same thing. Have mercy on me, my God. Have mercy on me, for in you I take refuge. I will take refuge in the shadow of your wings until the disaster has passed. You got something happening in your life right now? You know, take shelter under the wings of God. This too shall come to pass. Even more surprising to people. All right, Psalm 22, verses 9 and 10. Did you know God is actually, I don't know, kind of like a divine midwife? Got anybody that's ever been a midwife or a doula? Right? David says, you brought me out of the womb. You made me trust in you, even at my mother's breast. Now, you might think to yourself, no, God's not a midwife. He's the doctor delivering the baby. Well, I don't know. Look, it says, from birth, I was cast on you. From my mother's womb, you have been my God. Where's the first place we put a newborn baby? On their mom. And David says, from birth, I was cast on you. We're told in places like Psalm 34, God is close to the brokenhearted. Aren't you glad of that? And who's a child most likely to run to? Who do they come crying to when they need to? When they need some comfort, who do they come crying to at home, right? Mom. And not just in the Psalms. We get some very stark and even vivid pictures. And they come from God's own word. Word that he delivered to people like the prophet Isaiah. Listen to what he told him in Isaiah 42. Now, this is a messianic chapter. So first, we're going to include some very strong masculine descriptions. Isaiah 42, verse 13, the Lord will march out like a champion, like a warrior. He will stir up his zeal. He's the warrior, we're not. With a shout, he will raise the battle cry and will triumph over his enemies. And then, in this chapter, referring to the Messiah, the servant of whom it is said. Okay, verse 3 of Isaiah 42 puts it this way, and the Gospels quote, this about Jesus. Think of it. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. You feel like you're at the end of your rope? Hang on. God is the one who fans even flickering flames. Feel like you're just, oh man, I'm just about ready to be broken right now. Nah, he says, come on, we'll get a little stick here. And we'll keep you up, we'll keep you going. So verse 14 of this chapter, Isaiah 42, God says this, for a long time I've kept silent. I've been quiet and held myself back. But now, like a woman in childbirth, I cry out. I gasp and pant. Ooh, I probably should have given one of those trigger warnings, right, that they talk about. Any of the moms out there, I don't want to bring back the wrong memories for you. It takes somebody very strong to bear children, by the way. Kevin mentioned that. Moms are very strong. Now, as far as this idea of bearing a child, what do I know about that? Nothing, nothing. But God seems to know. He seems to know. He seems to be quite familiar with it. He seems to know what it's like to be a woman in childbirth. In Isaiah 49, 15 and 16, he asks this. He says, can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Now again, as I mentioned there at the beginning, it happens once in a while. Sometimes, yes, for whatever reason. For whatever reason, a mom just can't look after this baby they've given birth to. Though she may forget, says God, I will not. I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. You ever feel abandoned? Listen, God went through pain for you. And for all of us. Now, even those of us who are so far removed from the day we were born. I mean, I'm looking back at decades, right? Although I think my earliest memory, you know, I can remember when I was like 2 years of age. I ended up in the hospital. And I got a memory. I don't know if it was a dream that I had afterwards, but I remember my dad honking the horn, getting me to the hospital. And I remember my parents coming to pick me up. Well, I have those memories, some of them. That's a long way back. Not that long. No, it's a long way back. Yeah, at least 50 years. But we can count on this. This is Isaiah 66, verse 12 and 13. For this is what the Lord says. Now, he's speaking of a future day for the city of Jerusalem. It's still to come. But he says, I'll extend peace to her like a river, right? I got peace like a river. And the wealth of nations like a flooding stream. You will nurse and be carried on her arm and dandled on her knees. Now, of course, the city is referred to in feminine terms, but look at this, verse 13. As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you. And you'll be comforted over Jerusalem. As a mother comforts her child, so is our God. Now, you know, a mother's heart is tender. A mom's heart can be easily broken. A dad's too, of course. And those hearts are all broken by us, right? Especially their kids, right? Us especially, right? Their children. Your kids have broken your heart, moms, many times, haven't they? I got a daughter right now. She's over in Japan. Oh, think about her every day. I don't know. She's still my, I mean, she's in her late 20s, but man, she's over in Japan. You don't forget, right? But your kids have broken your heart. And oh, and so for those of us who are kids of a mom, treat your mom nice on Mother's Day if you still have your mom. You put her through a lot, didn't you? I'm just now, okay. But I found these words from the book of Hosea, chapter 11, first four verses. I should have given so many trigger warnings. Okay, when Israel was a child, I loved him. And out of Egypt, I called my son. That's right from the Christmas story too, isn't it? But the more they were called, the more they went away from me. Isn't that us? They sacrificed to the Baals. They burned incense to images. We just keep wanting to find other things rather than God. It was I who taught Ephraim to walk, taking him by the arms. But they did not realize. It was I who healed them. I led them with cords of human kindness, with ties of love. To them, I was like one who lifts a little child to the cheek. And I bent down to feed them. Doesn't sound like an alpha male, does it? No. No, how tender is our God. Just like the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit is very powerful. I mean, but aren't we told? Okay, we have this. When you think about the Holy Spirit, at Genesis, at the beginning, he hovered over the waters at creation. On the day of Pentecost, he came down with fire. 3,000 people came to the Lord that day. But this same Holy Spirit, aren't we told as believers that God's Spirit can be easily grieved and quenched? This huge force, which by the way is within us, If you've come to Christ, you've got this very same Spirit who hovered over the waters, who rained down on the day of Pentecost. You've got him in your heart. But he can be easily grieved. That's interesting, isn't it? How often have we broken God's heart? The heart of Christ the Lord. But you can make that right. Right? You can always make that right. I've lived my whole life making things right between me and God. And he's gentle and kind, and he'll forgive us, and he'll cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So on this Mother's Day, I just thought it was kind of fitting. And it's only fitting that we should honor her for all she has done. Now, let me close. Some of you might be glad that I'm doing that. I know we started in the Psalms, but these words come from just the next book over, okay? The book of Proverbs. The final chapter, chapter 31 of Proverbs. And I've always been intrigued by this. Did you ever notice this? We are told at the start of Proverbs 31, this is verse 1. It says there are the sayings of King Lemuel. Who in the world is King Lemuel? Nobody really knows. They think maybe it's a pseudonym for Solomon. Okay? These are the sayings of King Lemuel. An inspired utterance his mother taught him. Now, who inspired her? Well, it's the Bible. Who inspired anybody who wrote down these scriptures? Who inspired Deborah's song? Who gave the inspiration for Mary's Magnificat? Now, I got to be careful. I do not want to trifle with the Word of God here. Don't want to be accused of blasphemy. Nor do I want to perpetuate a very bad stereotype. But next time you read Proverbs chapter 31, and women especially feel so inadequate when they read it, but I'll tell you right now, I don't know, any woman I know fits the bill. But next time you read Proverbs 31, you make sure you remember it comes to us as the word of the Lord spoken through a Jewish mother. So this is serious. All right, tongue in cheek. But to all the hardworking, self-sacrificing women in our lives, I'm looking at most of them right here in the congregation, aren't I? And I'm imagining somebody is out there probably on Zoom. As it says in the final verse of this final chapter of Proverbs, Proverbs 31:31, and may we all find the ways to do it, not just on Mother's Day, but may we all honor her for all that her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. Thank you, moms. May God richly bless you all. Lord, thank you. Thank you for mothers, those who tried to do their best. And Lord, even when they failed us, thank you that you haven't failed us ever. Ever. And like a mother, you long to comfort us. So, Father, may we bless these women in our lives today. One day in the year won't make up for the other 364 days if we've ignored her. But let us honor her. And, Father, we thank you that you are the ultimate example of everything love is, everything tender, everything that we actually long for and hope to be for one another. Bless your word. Bless our looking at it. In Jesus' name, amen.